It's a very good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Day WA. Thanks to Hayes and Marto. They're back on between 3 and 5 tomorrow. We're here for Toolmart, the complete tool centre, and of course Kia and the award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento. Very shortly, I'll be having a chat to Jason Dover. He is the manager of Nat Fyfe, the dual Brownlow medalist, who secured the deal for another 2 years for Nat Fyfe to become a one-club player at the Fremantle Football Club. So Jason Dover is going to join us in just a moment. Also, we'll be looking at the top seven, and I'd like you to get involved with me on the Tempera Bedshed text machine, 0487 736 736. The top seven bucket list sporting events that if you had the money and the opportunity, you'd like to go. It got me thinking, actually, because of the state of origin last night, Queensland causing an upset and being the New South Wales Blues. They're taking rugby league to Las Vegas for the start of the 2024 season to try and increase the appetite for the Americans when it comes to rugby league. And if they get an appetite, what would stop Americans coming to Australia to experience state of origin as one of their bucket list opportunities? So I'd like you to give us your thoughts on the bucket list sporting events you'd like to go to on the back end of State of Origin last night. It's all thanks to Polaris, Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand. And, of course, Polaris end of financial deals are now on. Get up to $3,000 free accessories on Polaris Rangers. We'll bring you the AFL teams in just a moment. But let's kick it off. Thanks to the award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, the top seven bucket list sporting events. Here we go, number seven to kick it off.
Number seven.
The Dutch master has produced something special in the wet, in the dry. Max Verstappen wins the Monaco Grand Prix for surely one of his most satisfying victories in Formula One. But Alonso upgrades his best finishing position of the season now to second place. Esteban Ocon with just his third visit to a Formula One rostrum.
Oh, yes, breathtaking coastline, gorgeous beaches, the beautiful sights of Monaco, and you've got the Monaco Grand Prix, one of the oldest sporting events in the world, dating back to 1929. It'd be really nice to see how the rich actually live.
Number six.
Back out to Wiggins. Wiggins, a three-pointer, puts it in. A 15-point lead with 1:43 to play. The Warriors are ready to celebrate. Smart drives inside, missed the layup, gets his own rebound, back up and banks it in.
Of course, Steph Curry with his dad, the emotions just pouring out. It might be his fourth, but it means so much. All the sacrifice, all the work, it's over. The Golden State Warriors return to a familiar place. They're on top of the NBA world. The fourth title in 8 years. The Dubs dynasty is still very much alive.
Oh, yes, the Golden State Warriors from San Francisco, the 2021-22 champions. And I gather when it comes to the NBA, it's one of the world's premier sporting events. If there's any doubt that the NBA Finals should be on your bucket list, even if you attend one game, three or four games, or as Jimmy Williams did, about 155 games, it still would be on your bucket list.
Number five.
Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is. The return to glory. I never thought we'd see anything that could rival the hug with his father in 1997, but we just did.
That will be the greatest scene in golf forever, Jim Nance.
And that hug with his children, if that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, if you're a parent, you're not human.
No, the whole euphoria of everything, the patrons, his emotion, the chanting. We will never see anything as exhilarating as that.
Great commentary there by the CBS Sports commentator Jim Nantz. That was 2019 when Tiger Woods, after what he'd been through, took out the Masters at Augusta, a tradition like no other, and you couldn't agree more. If the Masters is not on your sports bucket list, you might as well throw the list in the trash can.
Number 4.
There is the man who's won the Tour de France. The first to congratulate Cadel Evans, the first Australian to win the Tour de France. And he has done it on an American team, and they're all over him. It's going to be a big night in Australia tonight. They're all up watching the first ever Australian to win the Tour de France.
And that was in 2011 when Cadel Evans became the first Australian to wear the Tour de France. So who wouldn't want to go on a vacation to France? And how about doing so when the country's greatest sporting event of the year is taking place?
Number 3.
Butker up. Got it. Here we go. Hurts has all day. Now some rushers come. Going to throw it as far as his arm can take it, which is well short. And the Kansas City Chiefs have won Super Bowl 57.
Yes, in February of this year, the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the Philadelphia Eagles in a classic Super Bowl. And you've probably been to a Super Bowl party or two in your lifetime. That's great. But have you actually been at the event? And they reckon it's the biggest party in town, particularly not just with the game itself, but of course, that halftime entertainment. The Super Bowl surely would be on your bucket list.
Number 2.
Here he goes. Too many. And he's missed. And Argentina are really on the brink now. He is. Argentina have won the World Cup. France have lost their title. Lionel Messi has won the World Cup. What a fairy tale. What a final.
Yeah, well, great final, 3-3 draw, extra time, and then it was decided by penalties at the FIFA World Cup for men late last year. And if you're looking for the most popular sporting event in the world, you better put the World Cup high on your bucket list. Fans everywhere dream of going to this event. The World Cup is important to nearly every country that has a national soccer team. And believe us, soccer fans are among the most crazy, loyal, intense fans on the planet. And you're talking about parties, it lasts for 4 weeks.
Number 1.
This is where Cathy exploded in Atlanta. Graham's in front of her. Freeman's got work to do here. There's about 150 to go. Guevara and Mary are right up. It's going to be a big finish. Into the straight, Graham leads. Freeman runs up to her. Mary inside. Cathy lifting. Goes up to Graham. Takes the lead. Looks a winner. Draws away from Graham and Mary. This is a famous victory. A magnificent performance. What a legend. What a champion.
Bruce McAvaney calling Cathy Freeman to gold at the 400 metres at the Sydney Olympics on the 25th of September 2000. The Olympic Games, certainly number one when it comes to the bucket list, because you could be present when there are special moments like that, when particularly you are an Australian. There you go, my top 7 bucket list sporting events. Love to hear from you on the Temperate Bedshed text machine, 0487 736 736. All thanks to the award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV available now at your nearest Kia dealer. And speaking about driving cars, don't forget double demerits apply from midnight tonight until midnight Monday for drink or drug driving, not wearing a seatbelt or running a red light. Get caught and you could lose your license twice as fast. A few hours ago, Nat Fyfe penned in another 2-year deal at the Fremantle Dockers. Let's hear from Nat, courtesy of the Fremantle website. And then I'm going to have a chat to his manager, the man that did the deal, Jason Dover. Here's Nat.
Yeah, I will be signing with the club for a further 2 years, and I'm really excited about what the next 2 years can bring.
This was the last year of your previous deal. How was the negotiation?
It was super seamless. I've got the best manager in the business, Jason Dover, who spoke with David Walls and sorted it out. And yeah, it was just a super smooth professional transaction and allows me to focus on my footy and help this footy club be as good as it can be.
What made you want to sign on?
I was never going to play footy anywhere else. I feel like I've got to catch up to speed and build some form and confidence in my roles because I'm playing a midfield forward mix. But yeah, enjoying being back out there and in the cut and thrust of AFL footy again. And I've just got a bunch of things that I can work on now and continue to improve and hopefully in the back end of the year play some great footy.
Well, very complimentary was Nat Fyfe, as you heard, about his manager, Jason Dover. And Jason joins us on the program. Jason, thanks for your time.
Yeah, no worries, Pete.
Mate, you've done an enormous job with Nat Fyfe. You've been his manager now for how long?
Boy, how old is he? I've been his manager since he was 17, so.
So when he was at Claremont?
Yeah, Claremont, and I think he might have just left Aquinas, and I saw him start playing Colts at Claremont in his draft year.
So as an individual, coming from a teenage boy now to a mature adult, how much has he changed, or is he still the same bloke that you took under your wing all those years ago?
And I reckon he's very different. We joked about that today when we were down at Fremantle doing the media piece that you're referring to. And he's matured into a fine young man now. He's had a lot of life lessons along the way, and I think gone from being a very single-minded, determined, young, brash, confident, overconfident, I should say, AFL footballer into a much more balanced version of that now, I think.
He said it was a seamless process. You as his manager, did you see it that way?
Oh, yeah, seamless in that he handed the task over to me and told me to go do it. I was really. And I think probably because of the direction he was giving me that the reality was he only wanted me to deal with Fremantle and said, yeah, when the time's right, you go and put your head together with the club, do a deal that's going to be in, it's going to help the club and not holding the ransom any sort of way. And sort of always had the attitude that it was time for others to be paid at the club and that he's been well paid along the way and let's do a deal that's fair for everyone. So, yeah, there wasn't a lot of haggling from both sides. Mm.
It's interesting what you said there, when the timing was right to maybe approach the Fremantle Football Club about his last contract at the club. Was that prompted by Nat himself, was it?
I think, Nat and I had been having a lot of conversations along the way through, I guess, certainly over the last couple of years with some of the challenges he's had. And I think just getting to the point where we felt all parties were going to be comfortable. So I think Nat had to be comfortable in terms of committing further to Fremantle, even committing to his career further, I suppose, and continuing. And then just sitting down with the club and making sure they're on the same page as what we were on. And, yeah, that took some conversations during the pre-season where we probably all did feel like we were pretty much on the same page. And I think probably for the full transparency, we had a really good meeting prior to round one, probably had the framework of a deal in place. But then, yeah, Nat getting injured and twos and fros from there, it probably just felt like time was everyone's friend to let it settle until now. And we sort of got back together over the last few weeks and put the finishing touches on it and ticked it off.
He seems very comfortable in his own skin. I think he feels very, very comfortable with you as his manager because you know him better than most outside his immediate family. Was there any talk, because there is a lot of talk and white noise around the community, that he may have wanted to maybe finish his career elsewhere? Was that a consideration at all, Jason?
Oh, really not, if I'm being honest. We read a few stories that came from certain media people that I think are more inclined to write things that get headlines and clickbait rather than actually do any factual journalism work. So we probably sat there and laughed about a bit. By all accounts, I'd been quite busy having 5, 6, 7 meetings with other clubs. None of that happened. Clubs certainly were ringing me to inquire whether he might be interested or available or considering a change. I shut down all those inquiries and I bounce them off Nat, as you're prone to do with your players, to let them know in his interest, and he never entertained any other clubs in terms of interest or even getting to offers. We never spoke to any clubs about that.
So, Jason, when you've got 2 Brownlow medals, and okay, he's heading towards a twilight of his career, it's interesting what you've just said there. He still had currency in relation to other clubs because they were inquiring.
Yeah, absolutely. I took a number of calls, and I suppose when you've been doing it as long as me, you've got some really good relationships around the league and clubs, and they know they can make that call and ask the question. But yeah, certainly clubs felt like there was the potential for him to get back. They probably saw the midfield stuff that we're now seeing earlier in the season, that they felt that was still a thing that could add to other teams. And they liked probably a little bit of the forward stuff they'd seen as well. So, yeah, he definitely had currency.
Mm. And as I said, finally, and I won't keep you much longer, he seems to be comfortable with the role he's playing and comfortable with the players around him. He handed over the captaincy to Alex Pearce. It doesn't seem to have upset his desire to be part of, hopefully, some really exciting success at Fremantle before his time's up.
I think that's a really good summary of it, Pete. And I think, look, has it been a smooth transition? And not a lot of transitions and changes are never easy, but I think sometimes once you make that change, you can come out the other end and be better for it. And Nat and I spoke a lot about it over the summer with the captaincy and other bits and pieces and change of position and coaching ideas and everything that wanted to happen, that, yeah, maybe renovating the house all at once wasn't a bad way to approach it, and you might come out, yeah, feeling fresher with a new scope on things and be able to attack the last part of his career and ideally try to get back to contending for a premiership with Fremantle, which is what he's harboured as his major desire the whole way along.
I reckon the Fremantle Football Club and their legion of supporters are enjoying the footy at the moment. Certainly have Nat Fyfe as a legend, but I reckon their manager, they'd be saying, he's a good bloke, Jason Dover. He's done the right thing. He's got Nat Fyfe at Freo, a one-club player, which is quite unusual these days. And no doubt Nat can always look back now when his career's finally over to say, oh, I was loyal and I played with one club only. And I gather that would mean a bit to him as well.
Yeah, and certainly something we discussed. I think even when I did say there was interest from other clubs, even if he did think about it fleetingly for a little while, I think the idea of putting on another jumper just didn't make him, just never really sat well with him. So that's why it was probably quite seamless in terms of getting a deal done. His heart and his head's always been with Freo, and even with the change and everything that sort of happened over summer, it's where he's wanted to be. And he and I discussed this, but it is a luxury to be in his position where he can be a one-club player and hopefully remembered really fondly in terms of what he's contributed to the football club along the way. And yeah, that part can go down in history, and then, yeah, let's see what the next couple of years bring. Now he's signed on, and, yeah, hopefully there's something even better at the end of it for him and the footy club and all his teammates.
I know everyone's chasing you, Jace, but I appreciate your time very much indeed. I think Nat Fyfe summed it up beautifully. You're a good operator. I've known you for many years, and I appreciate your call, and thanks for giving us an insight into negotiations. And on behalf of all the Purple Army, I think they'd like to pass on their thanks as well. Thanks for your time, Jason Dover.
You're welcome, mate. See ya.
Jason Dover, the manager of Nat Fyfe, joining us here on Sports Day WA. All thanks to Toolmart, the complete tool centre, where you always get the right tool from the start, and also the Kia, the award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento. Let's have a look, as I mentioned, for Polaris, Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand. A couple of the headlines. Firstly, Billy Slater, the Queensland Maroons coach, who defeated the New South Wales Blues in Game 1 of the State of Origin Rugby League Series last night.
Queenslanders go through drought, they go through cyclones, they go through floods. You know, they go through a lot of adversity, and we try and represent our people in that way as well. And I think that's what makes our people so proud of this footy team, and that's why this footy team is such an inspiration for our people. And that's what we try and do. We try and replicate the traits that Queenslanders have. And that was on show tonight.
He does a good job, Billy Slater. Don't worry about that. Ange Postecoglou is doing a great job with Celtic. And this is a Sky Sports report out of the UK. The fact that Ange has been linked to English Premier League club Tottenham Hotspur.
Let's start with some breaking news regarding Tottenham's hunt for a new manager. And we understand Celtic's Ange Postecoglou is emerging as the new preferred candidate to permanently replace Antonio Conte. Tottenham are still looking for a new permanent manager after Arne Slot declared he was staying at Feyenoord last week. Tottenham's eighth place finish was their worst in more than a decade. Postecoglou is on the verge of clinching a domestic treble in Scotland with Celtic. He's won back-to-back league titles, winning 82 of his 112 games in charge. Celtic play Inverness Caledonian Thistle in the Scottish Cup final on Saturday, having already won the Premiership and the League Cup.
Yes, so there you go. Ange Postecoglou, could he end up at Tottenham Hotspur? I tell you what, the pay packet would be enormous. Enormous, exactly right. Let's have a look at the West Coast Eagles before we finish up with our Polaris Sports Update. Polaris end of financial year deals are on now. Get up to $3,000 free accessories on Polaris Rangers. In for the West Coast Eagles, Callum Jamieson. It was a late withdrawal last week. Greg Clark, the sub, has been left out. And Luke Edwards, as we know, injured. Dom Shee, congratulations to him. Plays his 150th game for the West Coast Eagles. And he was up before the media to talk about his career earlier in the week. On the other hand, Collingwood. In comes Billy Frampton, the son of Peter. Joke. And also Harvey Harrison. Out goes Jamie Elliott, who's injured. Olive Markov has been omitted. And as we know, still side bottom. He's out for about 6 to 8 weeks after, unfortunately, playing his 300th game, and it didn't turn out as he would have liked. Harvey Harrison is a new player in the lineup, so we'll see him firsthand. He's making his debut here at Optus Stadium. Game gets underway at 2:35, and of course you'll hear it here on SENWA with yours truly, Peter Vlahos. And I'll be joined at the microphone, actually, for coverage of that with Steve Malaxis, former Hawthorn, West Coast Eagles captain. He's going to join us at the microphone in special comments. So I look forward to having a chat to Stava, 2:35 Saturday afternoon. After the break, I'm going to speak to Neil Fong, Dr. Neil Fong, who's the president of the West Perth Footy Club. Big game coming up on WA Day. It's East Perth against West Perth. And also Neil's been fairly open-minded about what the West Coast Eagles need to do to get their season and their club back on track. Neil Fong after the break here on Sports Day.